Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
Έχουμε κοντά μας την Μένι Βέιλ, η οποία έχει γράψει αρκετά βιβλία μαγειρικής και όλα έχουν θέμα την ελληνική κουζίνα ή την κουζίνα την μεσογειακή. Το τελευταίο της βιβλίο είχε θέμα την Ικαρία και ο τίτλος του βιβλίου είναι Ικαρία. Οπότε Μένι, θέλω να ξεκινήσουμε αυτή τη συζήτηση σήμερα με την ερώτηση γιατί διάλεξες την Ικαρία.
Την Ικαρία διάλεξα όταν έβλεπα το φαϊτό που τρώμε για το Mediterranean diet. Ικαρία is an island in the Aegean. It is one of five places in the world where people have been identified as living a very long and exceptionally long life, free of chronic disease or no disease at all. Now, these places are referred to as the blue zones. There's Ikaria, Okinawa, Sardinia, Costa Rica, Loma Linda. Now, even though these places are all culturally diverse, they have common threads such as plant-based diet, daily exercise, strong sense of community. So for me, I wanted to learn about the food, and the best way to learn about the food was to visit the place. So I took a huge leap of faith and off I went to Ikaria. And even though I went to learn about their food, I learned so much about joy in Ikaria.
You took a trip there. What did you find? What were the first impressions of the island?
Well, my first impressions were a woman that I had just met over telephone calls and internet, and just I'd never met her, a lady called Thea. She came to meet me at the airport. So my first impression was of this woman who welcomed me on this island with open arms and made me feel like part of the family from that first moment that I got there. So their philosophy on Ikari is that this philosophy of philoxenia, which, you know, friends of strangers, and they made me feel that for sure. I was a friend, but a stranger to them, but also a friend and part of their family. The people are just, they're very generous, they're very warm and loving. I found there's a very slow pace in Ikari, this beautiful slow pace. But also, because I did go to learn about the food, of course, and Ikari, for me, is a textbook example of the Mediterranean diet in its holistic sense.
Let's talk about the slow pace first, and then we'll get to the food. Tell us about the rhythms of this island.
Okay, the slow pace. So Thea picked me up and we're driving back to the inn where I was staying with her and her family in Nass. And she talked about this slow pace, and I even witnessed that just even on that drive back to that village. And she said to me, Mani, it's really important here too, and in our life, to give ourselves time that we need to do whatever it is we need. So give yourself the time needed. And I asked her what she meant about that, the time needed for what? And she said, well, if you need to rest, you take the time to rest. If you need to do some work, well, you give yourself that time that you need to do that work, or you need to go visit a friend or a family member or whoever that is. Don't rush these things and give yourself the time to do it. So she said, we have this idea of this slow pace here. And she said, of course, we all have stresses like we all do. Everyone has a stress in their life, and we can't avoid that. But because we have this slow pace and we have this very, very strong sense of community, those stresses are lessened because we have this way of life here that is very different to the modern world, I guess.
So it's what we would call biorhythms.
Yeah, probably, yes. Good way.
So if you feel tired, you don't just keep going because, you know, you need to finish a task. If you feel tired, you rest. And you can do the task later.
Exactly. You listen to your body. And if you need to rest, you take the time to rest. And they do that very well there. They have their nap time every afternoon, and I'm not used to doing that here because we're so busy with work all the time. But it didn't take long to get into that rhythm either, Dina, to be honest. And I was having my rest in the afternoon too, and it was lovely. It was lovely.
That's fantastic. I also read when I was doing my research on Ikaria before this interview, Mani, that shops and life in general doesn't actually start before 11 a.m., is this your experience?
Some would open a bit earlier, maybe 10, but yes, it's slow. And I must admit, the year before, I was very, very fortunate to be there with the team from Hardy Grant. We're doing my book and we're doing the photo shoot. And of course, we, you know, up and early, you know, have our breakfast and ready to start, you know, cooking and taking photographs and doing interviews and things. And of course, nothing was open before 10, you know, 10:30. So we had to start slowing down and changing to their rhythm as well. So it didn't.
And how was that? How was that, Manny?
It took us a little while, I have to say. It did, because we weren't used to that. We're, you know, at work, we always get up early and you've got the alarm going and you go to work and you're there, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever. But there, we found that a little bit, yeah, a little bit difficult to get used to, but we did get used to it. It didn't take us long. So what we started doing was go out and have our breakfast, maybe go for a little walk or go to the beach, have a swim, and then get into work. And it's a lovely way of working your day, and it worked really well for us. So we'd finish up later in the day, but that didn't matter because it was summer, it was beautiful weather, and that was fine, and we got everything we needed done easily and in a more relaxed way as well, because we had a really slow start to the morning, which is almost a bit of a luxury, I feel, here. But there, it's their way.
So it was Sunday every day.
Almost, yes. Well, that's a nice way of putting it, I guess. But it did. It worked really well. I do remember the day we needed to get our fish from Bandili at the port. And, you know, we got there nice and early and we thought he'd be there. But, no, he wasn't there. We missed him or he was coming late. So ended up going to a little cafe and having coffee. And the cook there had just made a beautiful cake. And he said, oh, we'll just get it out of the oven. Would you like some, ladies? And of course we would. So we spent a couple of hours doing that before we even started work.
So Manny, when you say pick up the fish nice and early, what do you mean? How early is early?
Well, we got there probably about 8:39, and we walked because we thought such a beautiful morning, we'll go and walk. But either he had actually come earlier and left, or we missed him, or he came later. I'm not really sure what happened that morning, but at the end of the day, I still got my fish. It was all fine. They knew who we were, and they said, not a problem, Manny, we'll get the fish to you. What would you like, and what are you doing today, and what are you cooking? And they did. So we just come and relax, have a coffee, we've got cake, it's not a problem, we'll get it to you. And they did. So by, you know, about lunchtime, a little truck came past the inn we were staying at, and everything I wanted was there. So it's no stress. So It will happen. And this is what Thea said to me too the very first day. She said, Manny, everything you want to do, you will probably do. You will definitely do, not probably, you will definitely do. But it may not be in the order you want to do it in. You need to be adaptable. You need to change. This is Ikaria here. We do things differently. So if you can't do it now, you'll do it a bit later. It's not a problem. You'll get it all done, but maybe not in the order you want to.
Yeah. So that was during summer, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, September was sort of, you know, end of summer. But it was a bit
8:39 o'clock. I must say, it is pretty late.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not for the fishermen in Ikaria, well, apparently.
Maybe we had missed him already that morning. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, the moral of the story, though, that you just said, is that it will happen. The task will be completed, maybe not in the way and in the time frame that you have in your mind, but it will be done.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, of course, after that first visit, I actually started taking groups there to Ikaria as well, doing workshops on Mediterranean cooking, on lifestyle. And my workshops take between 7 to 10 days, depending. I change them every year, and I always have a big group of people, maybe 8 or 10 people, and that's the first thing I say to them too now when I get there. Of course, I didn't get there last year, which is a bit of a shame, but I will say to everyone, here's the itinerary. We will cover everything on this itinerary, but maybe not on the same schedule. Maybe things will change, and they probably will, so you need to be flexible and get into the rhythm of Ikaria, which is very different to what we are used to back home. And again, everyone found that a little bit difficult to get used to begin with, because they'd say, oh, we've got on the itinerary today, we're cooking or we're going foraging, and why aren't we doing it today? I said, because the weather's not great, so we're going to do it tomorrow, but today we're going to do something else. And people sometimes get a little bit uncomfortable with change like that, but it's a good way to be, because everything is less stress and things still get done.
And it is why Ikaria is in the blue zone.
Yes.
Now, let's move to the other very big factor that actually put Ikaria in the Blue Zone, and that's their diet. What did you find that they were doing differently in Ikaria than, you know, let's say the rest of Greece?
Okay. You know, Dina, Ikaria for me is a textbook example of the Mediterranean diet in its holistic sense, pure, honest food and joy of community. So it's not just what they eat. When we talk about the Mediterranean diet, it's not just what they eat, but it's how they eat it. And by that I mean always with company, always with people around a table. That big, that strong sense of community is probably the most important thing that came out of my whole experience there, to be honest. It's they're eating Mediterranean diet. They're eating all those things that most Greeks will eat. You know, it's plant-based, the beautiful legumes, you know, your beans, your chickpeas, all that lentil stuff, a little bit of meat, a little bit of fish, dessert on special occasions, but always fruit after meals, salad with every meal, a Greek salad, olive oil, of course. You know, wine is always with food and always with company. Most people actually there grow their own food as well, so they're eating seasonally in a natural way because they're growing it and they're eating it when it's at its best. So there's very little processing. They don't believe in organic food and this sort of thing. They find that an unusual kind of way to describe food because they don't understand what that means. Like everything is organic here. We don't process anything. They don't have shops where you can, like we do here in the supermarket, the aisle for organic food or health food. It's all the same. It's all organic there. So they have their most families have their goats and they have their milk, their goat milk. They make their own cheese, their own yogurt. Again, homemade, hasn't been processed. They have the honey on the island, which is quite well known as well worldwide for lots of their health benefits. Most of them make their own wine. Again, no chemicals and that kind of thing. So the food is, like I said, honest, pure, seasonal food, cooked simply, and it tastes great. They have a lot of herbal teas. And again, even for that, they grow their own herbs and they dry them. They make a lot of them make their own pasta, which I had a lot of fun making as well. So their food is, I suppose, I don't want to say basic, but it is just homegrown seasonal food.
Let's talk about the herbs a bit and the herb teas.
Yeah.
Have you found herbs in Ikaria that are not found in any other places in Greece?
Oh, gosh.
Because your usual chai tuvunu, you know, the mountain tea, is everywhere.
They do have that. What? Yeah. They had quite a few different ones, actually, and I can't remember off the top of my head. They did have lots of different herbal teas, and every tea would be for a different ailment. So if you had a tummy upset, they would give you a certain tea for that, you know, not feeling so great. But whatever the ailment was, there was a tea that would match it. So they did have quite a big variety of teas, and, of course, they're of course, it's everywhere, and that was one of the most popular ones as well. But they do have.
Were they making the teas with fresh herbs or with dried herbs that they had harvested earlier?
They had harvested their own herbs and they would dry them themselves.
So it would be foraging again?
Yes, yes. So it was one of the highlights, actually going foraging with Ilya, who's Thea's husband, the people that I stay with, in the morning before it'd get too hot, and we'd go foraging and, you know, he would pick things and say, you know, what does this smell like to you? What do you think it is? So we'd pick of lots of different things, like your wild dill and oreganos and all sorts of different things. And whatever we would pick from the farm that day, we'd always go back to his farm and pick the vegetables, and that would be what the cook would be cooking in the restaurant on that particular day. So, again, she didn't have a menu, let's say, as such for the week. It would be depending on what Ilya had in his garden that day. That's what I think I would be cooking that day in the restaurant. So it's a really lovely way of living, I think, as well, just seeing what's there, what looks good, and be inspired by what's in the garden that particular day.
That's very much the Greek way, you know, the old Greek way of doing things. People, you know, if we go back a generation, not that long, I remember my mother would say, today we're going to have fish with vlita because I found really good fish.
Exactly.
We would have a an eggplant dish because the eggplants were ripe in the garden.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I think it's, we should all be doing that, shouldn't we? We should all be sort of cooking that way as ourselves at home.
We kind of flipped things, I think. And I would like to hear your opinion because from my experience and from what I can observe around me, we plan. We're big into planning. So we plan our menu for the week, let's say. Mm. So then we go out and we do our shopping. But do we think what's in season?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think when my children were growing up, because I've got four children, maybe I did a bit more of that planning. But as the years have gone by, I shop as I need and I don't plan much as far as meals anymore. So for me, it'll be I'll go to the market or I'll see what's around. And I have started doing that. I do that myself now, sort of see what I like and see what's there. And that way, then I'll decide on what I'm going to cook that day. So these days, and that's been a slow process, you know, for a long, many years. But these days, I don't plan. I be honest, I buy as I need and very little waste. And just what I'm inspired by that day and what I feel like, because sometimes you can, you know, plan for a whole week and you don't particularly want to have what you planned. So it's what you feel like, what your body is telling you you need and what's around at that time and what looks good. Like I said, what's ripe, what's at the market at the moment. So that's the way I cook these days.
So Manny, let's go back to Ikaria.
Yeah.
What recipes did you include in the book from the ones you learned at Ikaria?
Well, I tell you, Dan, I think we've just about put everything in there because over 80 recipes. So everything I ate there, everything I cooked with the ladies in their kitchens and in restaurants and things, I added almost everything. I don't think we left anything out at all. And there was a couple, I think, even at the end I felt like I really need to add these because they're so great and I put those in as well. So everything I experienced, and maybe there are things I didn't get to see that might, you know, maybe I'll see next time, but everything I ate and everything I cooked, I said with some of the locals, especially the ladies were amazing, everything has gone in there. It was a really fun experience as well, just listening to the stories about the food. And for me, every recipe in this book has a story or a memory that goes with it. So when I look at the pictures of the fish, I do remember Bandili and not finding him at the port, but we have a bit of a giggle about that. But every recipe does have a story behind it, and that's what makes it so special.
What's your favourite recipe from Ikaria?
This is a really difficult question, Dina, so I have so many favourite recipes, but there's a couple that do stand out, and one of the first ones I'd say was the Porto Calopita from the ladies at the Women's Co-op. And I met these women there that were just that had started this co-op quite a few years back. It was 12 to begin with, and they talked about their little co-op. And the cake I had that first visit was the Porto Calopita, and they talked about how they made it. And for me, that's sort of a fond memory, I suppose, of Ikaria. It's zesty, it's custardy, it's crispy, it's syrupy all at the same time and absolutely delicious. But for me, I think Sufiko embodies the spirit of Ikaria. It's one of their iconic dishes. It was traditionally cooked every Saturday when the ovens were on for the weekly baking of the bread. And the story behind this, which I love, is of a woman asked by her husband, "What are we going to eat today?" And so she goes into the garden to collect some vegetables and places them in her apron, takes them back and makes a very simple dish. And she replies, "Sufika," which means I left you some. So listening to these stories and imagining collecting vegetables by the apron full, preparing them by hand, you know, tumbling them into a big tray and lots of olive oil and baking it with such joy and calm, this for me is what the magic of Ikaria's soul. So this one is one of those vegetable dishes that I love and I cook almost weekly now myself. And it says everything about Ikaria, that seasonal, beautiful, simple dishes, but made with lots of love and joy.
This is not your first book. You've written four more before Ikaria, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, yes.
How is the food at Ikaria different to the rest of Greece? Is there any difference?
Oh, goodness, that's a hard question.
Because many things of what you have described, they're very much common in the rest of Greece. Yes. Soufiko is pretty much briam.
Yes.
But it's cooked differently in Ikaria. So I wonder, how is the cuisine of this island different to the food and the way of cooking in other parts of Greece.
Okay. In Nikaia, I just did discover some ingredients that I had never seen before. They have samphire, which they pickle, and they pick that from the rocks by the ocean. They
have what is it called? Sorry?
Samphire. It's like a sea fennel, and it's pickled.
What's the Greek name?
Kritamos.
Kritamos, okay.
Does that sound right? I think so. They also use taro root, which in Greek is kolokasi. Now, this is something I had never seen before. If you can't get a kolokasi or taro root, you can use a sweet potato, but they do use these quite a bit in salads, in stews. It's one of their main sources as well. I think it's actually grown quite abundantly in Cyprus as well.
Now, let's get to the eating of it. Mm-hmm. Let's say you picked your ingredients and you cooked your meal. What happens afterwards? Just describe that scene.
Okay, so I remember speaking to one of the ladies there, Marika. She's 90 years old, or was 90 years old 2 years ago, and asked her about her day and how that looked. And this is typical of the people in Ikaria. So she'd say she'd get up in the morning, she would look after her garden, you know, water her garden, her vegetable garden, her flowers, make a nice simple breakfast, maybe some herbal tea, a bit of bread with some honey, and then she prepared the meal for the day, which is usually the lunch meal. That's the main meal of the day. So for that, it'd be vegetable dishes and maybe some, you know, accompaniments, a bit, you know, if you're doing legumes and beans, you'd have some pickles to go with it, because they pair really well together, because the pickles help with the absorption of the nutrients in your beans and that kind of thing. So they have salads and they have their lunch for the day at 2 o'clock maybe. And then always after that, there'd be a bit of a rest time. This is the time they have their nap. So they do have a rest. And then again in the afternoon, they would, you know, do their chores or their work. In the evening, it'd be a simple meal, maybe some yogurt, a bit of fruit, nothing too heavy. But then also in the evening, they'd meet up with friends. And she said, if there's a light on down the street and you can see a house with a light on, you would actually go and knock on the door and go and have a coffee or a glass of wine with them, or that, you know, have a bit of company. So their day is quite slow. But they do have their, like I said, main meal at lunchtime and a rest in the afternoon, every afternoon. And most shops also close in the afternoon too for that time to rest.
Whether in Australia we have to book to see a friend maybe a week in advance, if not two.
This is exactly right. This is exactly right. It's here. It's not like that anymore, nothing. But when I was growing up, we did have that kind of community feel in, you know, in our street, and we would see friends and relatives would pop in. But that has changed so much over the last, well, many, many years, obviously, in the last decades. And these days it's, yes, you have to make an appointment or make a reservation, make some time. But there it's if you're home, you're home, and we'll pop in and say hello. It's lovely. It's lovely. Because the house was always full of people. Every morning I'd walk past and there'd be people on the veranda having coffee, you know, having a couple of chatting, and that was their big, they've got a strong sense of community, like I said before, and that's one of the things that does stand out a lot in Ikaria, apart from their food.
Did you participate in any celebrations, in any panegyria at the island?
Oh, gosh. One of the highlights, I have to say, Dina, apart from foraging in the morning and cooking with some of the locals, the panegyri is a highlight for sure. It is, apart from the fact that it's a lot of fun, also one of the other things I loved about the panegyri is that all the money raised at the panegyri goes to a common cause on the island. So if anybody needs any help, or a school needs a bit of maintenance, or family needs some medical attention, the money goes to that cause, which is, again, that sense of community and caring for each other. So, but you can imagine this, and I take my groups there too, and we do my workshops. We always go, and every village will have their own feast day, and we'll go to the panegyri. So the village, there's a dance or dance area, there's trestle tables out, there's the band playing, people, you know, there's wine, and they do actually dilute their wine too, because it's quite strong, so they can have more of it during the night. So a little bit of wine and quite a bit of water, and you have roasted goat and you have your salads and your wine. And once the music starts, people are singing and dancing, and just young and old, from little kids right to people in their 90s will be there. And I remember the very first time I did go, it was getting quite late in the evening, and I said, oh, I need to get going back because it was getting late. And there was a lady sitting next to me who would have been well into her late 80s, and she said, "Me nipple bus, you know, and a nori sokoma." And I said, "Well, you know, I need to go to some sleep." She goes, "Oh, we're going to go have breakfast at my house in the morning. Where are you going?" You know, and this was something like 2 a.m. in the morning, and they were very happy to be out all night. So a lot of fun, and they do know how to have a lot of fun. But again, that money raised goes to a great cause. So it's a lovely thing to say.
Ωραία, αλλά θέλω να τελειώσουμε όμως με κάτι στα ελληνικά. Γιατί στην Ικαρία που ήσουν να μιλούσες ελληνικά. στους ηλικιωμένους, τουλάχιστον στους ηλικιωμένους. Πες μου κάτι που σου είπαν οι ηλικιωμένοι και ήταν για σένα αυτό που λέμε pearl of wisdom.
Okay. Η Μαρίκα που ήταν δίπλα μου που έμενε, της είπα, Μαρίκα, πες μου, πώς είσαι 90 και είσαι σαν τόσο νέα φαίνεσαι. Μένει, λέει, πρέπει να είσαι εκεί που είσαι η καρδιά σου γεμάτη, εκεί να είσαι, που είναι η καρδιά σου γεμάτη. So that pearl of wisdom, you need to be where your heart is full.
Και σου είπανε νομίζω και κάτι άλλο σχετικά με τα χρόνια και τη ζωή.
Α, ο Ηλίας, ναι, ο Ηλίας. Μου είπε, πήραμε ένα καφέ το πρωί, είχαμε πάει να πάρουμε τα λαχανικά και πάει το ρωτού στον Ηλία, πες μου, Ηλία, πες μου πώς ζείτε τόσα χρόνια. Και μου είπε, εδώ μένει, δεν βλέπουμε να βάζουμε χρόνια στη ζωή μας, όμως βάζουμε ζωή στα χρόνια μας.
Δεν βάζουμε χρόνια στη ζωή μας, βάζουμε ζωή στα χρόνια μας. Αυτό είναι σοφό. Τι άλλο σου είπε ο Ηλίας? Θα πρέπει να είχες πολλές συζητήσεις με τον Ηλία.
Είχαμε όμως, αυτό ήταν το παραπάνω που το θυμάμαι, γιατί μου είπε, we don't try and put years to our life. We try and put life into our years. Αυτό έλεγε ο Ηλίας.
Πόσο χρονών ήταν ο Ηλίας?
Δεν ξέρω. Μπορώ να πω την αλήθεια.
Δεν τον ρώτησες.
Δεν τον ρώτησα.
Και ούτε είχε σημασία.
Δεν τον ρώτησα. Όμως η Μαρίκα ήταν πολύ καλή γυναίκα.
Η Μαρία πόσο χρονών ήταν?
90.
90,
μάλιστα. Πόσο είσαι, Μαρίκα, λέει, να ρωτήσω την κόρη μου. Πόσο είμαι? Δεν ξέρω. Είσαι 90, 92, όχι και 92, λίγο κάνεις και πιο μεγάλη, 90 είναι.
Και ήταν στο δικό της σπίτι που θα πηγαίνανε μετά το πανηγύρι για breakfast?
Ναι, εκεί πηγαίνανε όλοι.
Όταν λέει θα πάμε για breakfast, τι ώρα θα πηγαίνανε?
Δεν ξέρω, δεν πήγα, εγώ πήγα ξαπούσα.
Αυτό με τους ηλικιωμένους που δεν δουλεύουν, οι άνθρωποι που δουλεύουν, οι νεότεροι, έχουν τους ίδιους ρυθμούς?
Στην πόλη που είναι μέσα είναι λίγο διαφορετικά, όμως το μεσημέρι πάλι κλείνουν τα μαγαζιά και τα γραφεία, κλείνουν. Όμως, πάλι το όπως είδα, έχουν τους ίδιους ρυθμούς, ναι.
Να κάνω μια τελευταία ερώτηση. What would the reader take out of your book, Ικαρία?
Living every moment to its fullest. Eating honest food, eating seasonal, taking the time to rest and having those connections with community, really, really important. But also exercise daily and not by the way we exercise here by going to the gym or going for a run, but there they exercise by working in their gardens and walking to the cafes and walking to friends. So they exercise naturally that way as well. So there's quite a few little lessons to be learnt from Ikaria. Eating seasonal, fresh food, not processed, plant-based, exercising in a natural way, resting when you need to, taking the time to do the things you need to do, and of course having a good bond with friends and family and community, most important. And being where your heart is full, like Marika said.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν? Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.